Certainly appreciate the good expressions of prayer this morning. Trust the sentiment of our heart. Good to see each one of you. Certainly the Lord has been so good to each and every one of us. And thus far the Lord has led us on. And truly God has been our refuge daily. He's been so good to us. Certainly desire the interest in your continued prayers this morning, the time that we stand before us. We trust that the Lord would be pleased to make himself known in a wonderful way in our hearts this morning as we go forth in the trying and the preaching of the gospel. In Matthew, the 11th chapter, I want to begin here reading with verse 1. And the thought that is upon my mind this morning, as this concerns John the Baptist and how that he sent two of his disciples to ask the Lord a question. Let's just start in verse 1. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ. Now notice that. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now, if you'll remember some months ago, maybe last fall, late summer, early fall, we endeavored to try to preach some concerning John the Baptist and upon him seeing the Lord and how that he baptized the Lord and how that God had taught John and had said to him that upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon, he's the one. And John saw that. And then the next day cometh Jesus. Remember that lesson. The next day, the day after John had baptized Christ, the next day after John had saw the Spirit descend upon him, as he saw Jesus walking by, John said, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. John the Baptist was upon a high mountain at that point. John was lifted up in the spirit of assurance. John was mightily encouraged. John had a great revival burning in his soul. Yeah. He had great boldness and great fervency for the truth of who Jesus was and declaring that truth and so forth and standing boldly for that truth and even opposing the opposition and those that would oppose as far as the gospel of the preaching, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But now time has passed and it's different now, and John is in prison. But John, he hears in the prison, he hears this. He hears about the works of Christ. And he sends two of his disciples and he asks that question, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? You know, you would have thought, but yet, though really not so, because we know ourselves. We know how that we can be so uplifted in a good meeting, how that and on a Sunday, and yet then on Monday we can have such doubts and we can have such fears and so forth. And of course, we see that through the course even of the disciples when they had saw the wonderful things that the Lord did. But yet, they had times of doubtings and times of looking back and wondering. And then even at the time of the Lord's crucifixion, as Jesus had said, smite the shepherd and the sheep will scatter, and how that they did scatter. And they lost hope. They lost that hope that Christ was he that had come. And then, of course, as the Apostle Peter spoke of, that he hath revived, he hath lifted us back up into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So once again, after Jesus was raised from the dead and they saw him and Jesus ministered to them, their hope revived. But they were just like a yo-yo, you know, up and down. And that's the way we are a lot of times. And so now John is in prison. And he asked that question, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? But Jesus answered and said unto them in verse 4, go and shew John again those things which you do hear and see. Go show him, go tell him.
Yeah.
Go forth. Jesus is going to send those two disciples back to John. Say, you go back to John again, and this is what you're to show him by telling him. This is what you are to help him to understand. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. But now wait just a moment. John has already heard. Notice in verse 2, now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he had already heard of those works. He heard those works. And now Jesus says, though, you go and shew him again. You go and tell him again. Cause him to understand. And you go back and tell him the things which you do hear and see, that the blind receive their sight and the lame walk and the lepers are cleansed. And the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. This morning my thought is upon that. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? That question there that John needed to hear again. We need to hear the good news again and again and again. We need to be encouraged in Jesus Christ over and over and over again. This is why the Lord has so designed and set up his gospel kingdom and has set preaching of the gospel to teach and to feed the sheep, the flock, amen, of the little congregations here and there. Of the Lord's own planning. The scriptures teach us over and over as we read, and especially the emphasis and exhortation and admonition the Apostle Paul gave the elders at Ephesus, where he said to them, take heed unto yourself and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the flock of God. Amen. To feed the church of God. And so we understand from that, even as the Lord told Peter and asked him those questions, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And as Peter, the Apostle Peter, wrote by divine inspiration, and also having been told by the Lord himself, he says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, that you feed the flock of God which is among you. Over and over the scriptures exhort, amen, the gospel preacher to feed the sheep. Yeah. To feed the sheep. Oh, So if sheep produce good wool, if sheep produce that they need to do, they have to have good feeding. They have to have the green grass. They have to have the tender care. Amen. In order to produce that is needed, that sheep produce. I tell you, if we're going to produce and to bear forth the fruit of the Spirit, amen, certainly by the help and grace of God, and God that worketh in you both to will and to do according to His good pleasure. Amen. But yet, amen, you've got to be fed. You've got to be nourished. That Spirit of God in you has to be stirred up. You have to be built up, edified on the most holy faith, and encouraged and strengthened. Amen. In Jesus and who Jesus is. We need to hear again. And in order for us to hear it again and again, the preacher has to preach it again and again. We have to tell it again and again. So the Lord says, you tell my sheep, you show them again what great things that the Lord has done. You point out, amen, and bring to recollection the great things of the Lord. Now here, it was based upon miracles, physical miracles that are under consideration. The blind receive their sight. This list of things that is given, someone would say, yes, but we don't have that today. No, as I endeavored and brought across last Sunday, we don't have the sign gifts, the things of signs. We don't come out this morning to see a sign such as the blind physically to receive their sight, the cripple or the lame to walk, or the lepers to be cleansed, or the deaf to hear, or the dead to be raised up. In a physical way. But I tell you this morning, when we come together, and if God is so pleased to meet and congregate among us, and to show forth Himself and to bless the preaching of the gospel, we can witness such wonderful miracles, amen, of the blind receiving sight, amen, that God's little children, amen, can see, that God's little children can understand, can see to understand and have clarity of what thus saith the Word of God. And and when it says the lame to walk, or the crippled to walk, many times in this life we are crippled, and I'm speaking symbolically and so forth along this line in an allegory, but we're crippled in the things of this world. There's many things that will cripple us. There's many things that will cause us to be halt, that will cause us to be lame upon our feet. But the gospel, the telling it again, and the reviving in our soul, amen, of the Spirit of God can bless us and cause us gospelly and in a spiritual sense to rise up off of the couch or the chair or the bed, to rise, take up thy bed and walk. Amen. The just shall live, the just shall walk by faith. Oh, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Oh, we don't believe in gospel regeneration. We don't believe that the gospel gives initial faith. We know that comes, amen, in a direct, immediate work of God. But there is that, as the Scripture teaches us in Romans chapter 10. Oh, that faith cometh. Faith riseth up. Faith sprouts legs, if you please. And therefore, we can produce and to have good works of faith. Show me your works by your faith. You see, without that, we can't do we can say we believe, but if we truly believe, then we're going to have the works, amen, behind it, good works of faith and good labors of love, as the scripture teaches us. Oh, but we can rise up with healed legs, amen, to walk by faith, to walk in that newness of life, to walk as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, when the Lord blesses his little children to do this, that is just as great of a miracle as physical receiving sight or being recovered of being lame. And then he says the lepers are cleansed. Oh, you see, leprosy, sin is typified by leprosy. We know by nature that we're leprous, and we know that that takes the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, that takes the power of God, but also there's a cleansing that God's people that we need here in this life, and the gospel will help us with that. Amen. The gospel will wash us. The gospel will cleanse us. Oh, will teach us how to keep ourselves, our walk clean and upright before the Lord, and how to walk in a way that is pleasing unto the Lord. And then he says, and the deaf hear, the deaf hear. Oh, to have a spiritual ear. Oh, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Oh, we know that the seeing eye and the hearing ear, that is of the Lord. So as God blesses his children to walk in conversion, to walk in a way that shows that repentance, that a change of mindset has truly taken place, then a change of walk, a change of conversion. Amen. That is a miracle from the Lord. It's a miracle from him to call a man to give a gift. Amen. To preach and to declare the unsearchable riches of God's word, that you can find it out by searching it out. That it's not by worldly wisdom. It's not by us endeavoring to study it out as you would other subject matters here in natural subjects and so forth. Oh, but it is spiritually discerned. Amen. It is spiritually discerned. Well, we know that the natural man does not receive, amen, the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. Oh, and so forth. Oh, but to us, born of his Spirit, to us, that the Lord has revealed himself, and to us that he is most lovely, and oh, that he is most precious. Oh, that's a miracle. And as we see it, oh, and the gospel makes sense to us. Amen. The scriptures make sense, and our heart yearns. Oh, and our heartbeat, oh, is after of the Lord and the things of the Lord. Truly indeed, that is a miracle. Oh, we need to hear it again. We need to hear again. We need to be told again. Oh, of how that our Lord is our great high priest, and how that he cares for us. We need to hear 1 Peter 5 and 7 again. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Oh, it's so easy to get weighted down with the cares, with the troubles, oh, with the afflictions, the heartaches of this life. Oh, but I'm thankful this morning to be able to tell you that you have a friend in Jesus Christ. Oh, that you have a Lord that loves you and cares for you. And in your secret closet of prayer, you can unburden your soul. You can cast your cares upon him. You can tell him all of your troubles. Amen. Because he cares for you. He is concerned about you. He loves you. Oh, thank God for that this morning. I tell you that upon the authority of his word. I tell you again of the caring love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He knows your heartaches. He sees your tears. He knows your fears. He knows the doubt. doubts, oh, that try to crowd into your mind. Oh, he knows the troubles you face. He knows about the weights, all the things, and he knows the sin that does so easily beset you. Oh, and he is the one that is set closer to us than a brother. He's the one that can give us sweet solace and deliverance from these things as we cast our cares upon him. I think about the verses of scripture over in Hebrews chapter 4, starting there in verse 14, where we are told of this wonderful message here, seeing then that we have a great high priest. Oh, I want you to notice the positivity of that expression. I want you to notice the confirmation of that expression. Oh, it's talked to us, and we see Hebrews is a book of better things. Oh, and it's a comparison and teaching of how that Christ is the fulfillment of all of those things under the old economy. And of course, here we're talking about the priesthood of Jesus Christ and how that he is our great high priest. And when it says, seeing then that we have. Here is the miracle that you see. The blind see. If you see this morning, if you understand this, if you believe this, that we have a great high priest. Amen. We have a great high priest. Yes, sir. We're not looking for a great high priest. We're not hoping for a great high priest. But as the word of God declares, we have. We have a great high priest. Amen. Jesus Christ is our great high priest. Amen. He is the fulfillment of that office of priest, king, and prophet. Oh, he's all three. He is our great prophet. He is our great king. He is our great high priest. Oh, he went into the most holy of holies, bearing blood, his own blood. Thank God forevermore. Oh, he went into that. He passed into heaven itself. Oh, he was accepted. He was approved by his heavenly Father. For wherein he accomplished his death. He did that of the will of the triune God. That was purposed even before the world began. Therefore, amen, eternal life was promised by God that cannot lie before the world began. Oh, because of that divine purpose of God and the fulfillment of that in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so now, seeing then, do you see? If you see that, you've been recovered of blindness. Amen. You've been healed. Amen. Of blindness. Because I tell you, there are many of God's even children in this world that do not see that we have a great high priest. That do not see that we have one that said, it is finished. And that the Revelation letter declared, it is done. Amen. It is accomplished. Oh, I came down from heaven. This is what Jesus said, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And we know the will of the Father that sent him, that of all that the Father gave him, he should lose nothing. He's not going to lose one sheep. Not one sheep. Oh, his sheep may stray, and stray we do. Oh, Lord, have mercy. We stray. We wander. We're prone to wander. We're still affected. Amen. With that curse of sin. We still have that sin nature. We still have that vileness. Oh, that when we would do good, that even evil is present. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God, amen, through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is Jesus Christ, our great high priest, that has legally and positionally delivered us from this body of death. And then in the day of the resurrection, we will be finally delivered from this body of death. Amen. thank God, because he has legally destroyed death, and he will, in a vital sense, in an actuality sense, he will destroy death. He will be victorious over it, for it's the last enemy that'll be destroyed. And it'll be destroyed in the day of the resurrection. And when it is destroyed, it will have no power over anyone, just and unjust. That's why he's going to raise the just and the unjust when he conquers and when he defeats death. Because when he defeats death, amen, it has no power to hold anyone, not one of the human race. Amen. Whether they be just or unjust, amen, they're going to come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. That's what Jesus taught in John chapter 5. So this morning, if you see this, if you see, seeing then that we have a great high priest, you've been recovered of blindness. Amen. You've been recovered of blindness if you see that. If you see that we have, not that we're going to have, but that we have right now a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. Oh, think about it. The very first of the writing of Hebrews here, when he says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person. That's what Jesus was. And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. If you see that, you've been recovered of blindness. Amen. If you see that he by himself purged our sins, oh, and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, that our Lord being made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Oh, he didn't come as an angel. Amen. He came as a man. He was made like unto his brethren. And it was for the suffering of death, whereby that he could die. A spirit can't die. An angel can't die. Amen. He had to be made a man. The word had to be made flesh. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law. If you see that this morning, you've been recovered of blindness. Oh, tell it again, show it again, show my people again. Oh, what great things the Lord has done for us. How he has recovered, and he's still giving sight. I remember about 30 years ago now, amen, when the Lord started recovering me, amen, of some blindness, and I began to see some wonderful things from his word that I never saw before. Amen. It opened up, and how bright and how beautiful it was. Oh, thanks be unto God forevermore. You know, I'm sure that natural blindness has to be an awful thing. It has to be so tough. And right now, Mother has a friend about her age, and this friend that Mother goes there to the Senior Citizen Center, the Nutrition Center with, she has a son that's about 62 years old, the same age that I am. And he was born deaf, but now he's had cataract surgery, and I don't know what happened. I don't know if they know what happened, but now the doctors say that he is going blind. So not only now is this man going to be deaf, but there's going to come a time, according to what the doctors are saying, that he's going to sit not only in a silent world, but he's going to sit in a dark world. Oh, that's the same as God's people. Oh, may have natural hearing, may have natural eyesight. Oh, but they're so overwhelmed. They're so pressed down with biases and prejudices of a work system and so forth that they've been taught all their life. Oh, that they don't know. They can't hear such glorious things. And even if they were told, even if they heard with their natural ear, they may not hear with a spiritual ear. Oh, I tell you, the Lord has to open that up. Oh, the more and more I see of that, you know, you can talk to folks until you're blue in the face. You can tell them these things. Oh, and I've had some agree and would be shaking their head this way, and then all, and I've told you this before, they were listening with the heart, but then all of a sudden the head kicks in it. Then the head starts going this way. It's a no. You know why? Because the head kicked in over the heart. But thank God this morning, how blessed that we are. Tell them again. Go tell John. Oh, that the blind see, that the deaf hear, that the lame walk, that the dead are raised. Oh, thank God. Oh, how that the Lord has raised us. Not only has He quickened us and raised us from a state of dead and trespass and sin, but He's blessed us. He's come by. Amen. And He's made Himself known unto us. And He's given unto us His fellowship. And we have fellowship with Him. We're not separated from Him. Death is a separation. Oh, but this morning, we have communion with the Lord. We have fellowship with the Lord. And oh, when He comes by, you know many places in the scripture, it'll say, and the Lord passed by. The Lord passed by here, or the Lord passed by there. You know, every time the Lord passed by, every time He came by someone or to a place and they had a need, it was met. Oh, that the Lord would pass by our way this morning. Oh, to lighten our burdens. Oh, to clear away the dullness of our hearing. Oh, and to anoint our eyes with the eyes saved of the gospel. Oh, that we can see and that we can hear, and that these precious things are most precious unto us once again. You see, oh, as time goes on, when you've been for decades and years and years, and you've heard these wonderful truths, they might just become kindly a norm unto you. Might just become that which is not fresh or new into your mind or thinking. This is why we need to hear it again, and we need to hear it under the blessing of the Spirit of God from faith to faith. Oh, that would refresh, that would stir us, amen, that would stir our minds to appreciate the knowledge of these wonderful truths and the confirmation of these wonderful truths in our heart, that they not be stale, that we don't take them for granted, that we don't get complacent, that we are not enthused about the doctrines of grace, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the great work that Jesus did for us. That's why, amen, the preacher stands week in and week out and keeps telling again and telling it again and telling again, because we're so prone to forget. Amen. We're so prone, amen, to get sidetracked here in this world and with the things of this world. Oh, this is why we need even the chastening of the Lord. We need His sternness, amen, to steer us and to turn us. Turn us, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Oh, we need the Lord to turn us. We need the Lord, amen, by His Spirit, in His providential oversight. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passing the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Let us hold fast our profession. Hold it fast. Don't turn it loose. Don't let it slip. Oh, brothers and sisters, that's the message of exhortation that we have in the second chapter of Hebrews, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. If it wasn't possible to let them slip, the Word of God wouldn't give us this exhortation. amen, that we shouldn't let them slip, that we ought to give the earnest heed to them, that we ought to prize these things, that we ought to esteem these things even more than our necessary food, that we esteem the word of God, the commandments of God, amen, more than anything else. Oh, that's the only way that our house is going to stand, is if we build on the rock. If we build on the rock, Christ Jesus, oh, there's other foundations, oh, that is seeking sand. But Christ is the only solid rock. No matter what your endeavors are in life, no matter what career you may think you're going to follow and so forth, what kind of occupation, what kind of work, whatever it is, you got to build on Christ. You've got to put Christ first. Amen. You've got to put His word first. You've got to put His teachings first. You've got to esteem Him more than your necessary food. And if you'll do that, amen, He'll bless. If you'll seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these other things will be added unto you. The Lord knows we need food and raiment and shelter. The Lord knows we have temporal needs here in this life. But our first and foremost emphasis, amen, has to be consecrated. Amen. Has to be centered upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He has to be first. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. What is that saying? It's saying you've got a high priest that can be touched with the feeling of your infirmities. Amen. That's the sense of it. Oh, we have this high priest. That's what he just told us in verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. And this high priest that we have, he can be touched. Thank God forevermore. He can be touched. Oh, that little woman with issue of blood. Oh, she had in her mind, I believe the Lord was blessing her with that. I believe the Lord was blessing for faith to rise up. And she said, if I can but touch the hem of His garment, I know I'll be made whole. How many times have you been so hungry and so needy, and you come to the house of God saying, Lord, oh, if I can just reach out, if I can just touch You, amen, if I can just touch some part of Your clothes, if I can just touch the hem, if I can just barely, amen, just touch. You see that hem of the garment that was down, that was the outer part, that was the lowest part, amen. She come humbled down just to touch, amen, just to reach out and to touch the hem of His garment. And Jesus said, who touched Me? And those disciples said, Lord, You see this great multitude throning You and pressing against You. There's people touching You on every side, but they wouldn't touch Him like she is touching Him. Amen. She was touching, amen, by faith. She was reaching out by faith. If I can just touch the hem of His garment. Yeah. Thank God we have a high priest that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Oh, He is tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Thank God we have a sinless Savior. Yeah. Amen. We have a sinless sacrifice. Well, if it's not so, then it would do us no good. Amen. I want to tell you, it took one without sin to die for sinners. Amen. It took one without sin. You see, under that old economy, the high priest, he had to make sacrifice for himself. Amen. In his family first, before he could go into the Holy of Holies. I want to tell you, our Lord didn't have to make any kind of sacrifice for Himself. He didn't have to do any purging for Himself. He didn't have to do anything like that. Amen. Before He could make sacrifice, before He could atone, before there could be redemption. Why? Because He was sinless. He is the sinless Son of God. Amen. Amen. That Word made flesh. Yes. Never sinned. Separate from sinners. As the Bible declares. No guile even in His mouth. He never thought an impure thought. No, sir, He did not. Oh, our Lord. Oh, He was spotless. He was pure. Undefiled. Separate from sinners. Therefore, He could save sinners. Amen. Therefore, He could save His people. Amen. Who are sinners. Amen. Made sinners by Adam. Right along with the rest of the human family. Family made every one of His posterity. Amen. He made every one of them corrupted and vile. Oh, by his disobedience. But thank God, by the obedience of one, many were made righteous. By the righteousness, the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we heard the message, amen, that for every one that he drank their sins out of the cup, that their sins were there, that he drank of them, that he paid for them, oh, that they were taken care of. Oh, thank God there'll not be one cast into that lake of fire that Jesus died for. Not one. No, not one. Praise God. If you see that this morning, if you can understand that, oh, what a great miracle that is. For we have none in a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted. He was tested. He was tried like as we are, yet without sin. He didn't fail the test. He didn't fail the trying. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. You know, we don't come boldly in ourselves. We can come boldly. This exhortation to come boldly, this boldness is in Christ. Yeah. This boldness is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We come in him. We come by him and through him, through his name. Jesus told his disciples, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. But he told them the time was coming. In other words, it would be when he went back to the glory world and sit down on the right hand of the throne, the majesty on high, that they would pray to the Father and ask in his name. Amen. We pray to God. Amen. In and by and through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's how we pray to him. We pray to him through Jesus. He is our high priest. Man is not our high priest. We don't pray to a man. We don't pray in that sense, a natural man here in this life. There's the priesthood of believers, that all of God's believing children, that will offer the sacrifice of praise, amen, are priests and kings, amen, ruling and reigning over ourselves to the praise and to the honor and glory of God, and offering our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. You don't have to go somewhere and go into a little booth and confess your sins to some man and him tell you to do this or that and so forth, and you'll be resolved in your sins. Amen. We have access. We can come boldly, amen, to the throne of grace through our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can tell him all of our troubles, as I said. Cast all of our cares upon him. Amen. First of all, I believe we ought to praise him a little bit before we start asking. I believe we ought to thank him. Oh, we ought to acknowledge him. Oh, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Oh, we ought to praise him. We ought to glorify him. We ought to recognize that his name is holy. His name is reverend. Amen. That he is high and lifted up. Oh, and we acknowledge him and praise him. Oh, and reaching out to him, oh, as the only one that can help us. Oh, then can we then make our petitions and our requests, oh, known unto him, oh, in thanksgiving unto him, in supplication. Let us therefore come boldly in the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Thank God there is grace and there is help in the time of need. Somebody said, when and where is that grace to help in the time of need? I tell you, that time is about all the time with me. Amen. We're needy. As you've heard me say, we're a needy people. We're in need. We're in need of the Lord. And in that sense, we're doing what Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus. Amen. As we come boldly to that throne of grace in and by and through Jesus, we're looking unto Jesus. We're looking to him. Amen. Who is the author and who is the great finisher of our faith. He is the originator. He is the begetter. Amen. Of our faith. So let us remember the lesson. And we preached on this several times. But remember that lesson. I referred to it. Oh, to look to him and hear his sayings, his commandments, and to do them. And he said there in Matthew chapter 7, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Great was the fall. Oh, all of the ground is truly seeking sand. I want you to think about this expressions, beautiful expressions there in the 91st Psalm, particularly in verse 1 and verse 2 of that 91st Psalm. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. I want you to notice that. Amen. Don't forget that. Remember that He is our refuge, that He is our great shelter. There in the 142nd Psalm, I believe it is, there's also an expression there that I want to bring forth and set before you. In 142, in verse 5. Well, let's look back to verse 4. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Notice that. You know, folks that you think are your friends and that you might associate with, run with, so forth. As long as things are going well, they might act and come across as a friend. But here, the psalmist David was talking about when he was, I believe, when he was in that cave, that when he was in a hard time, he said, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Think about that. Think about that. You know that rich young ruler? Not the prodigal son. The prodigal son. As long as he had money, as long as things was going well with him, no doubt, he had a caravan of friends and so forth. But when he had wasted it all on righteous living, and of course, no doubt, probably they're helping him with that, and found himself in great need and in great want, and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and started feeding hogs, and would fain have filled his belly even with the husk of the food that the hogs ate.
Yeah.
But you know, this is such a true statement right here. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. They wouldn't even know me then. Wouldn't even know me. Refuge failed me. I tell you, the things that we would take in a natural sense, that are from a carnal sense and a worldly wisdom, that we would think would be a refuge, them things will fail you.
Yeah.
You know, I've read history about there in the late 20s, 1920s. They called the 20s the Roaring 20s. Oh, it seemed like for those first years after World War I, that there was great prosperity and they had the Roaring 20s and so forth. But then how that the crash came there in the end of the 20s, and how different that it was. And folks that had accumulated and acquired great fortunes, they lost them overnight. And history records and tells about folks in these large cities that jumped out of windows and so forth and jumped to their death, killed themselves. They had no refuge. They had trusted in the wrong refuge. They had trusted in the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And when that time came, it failed them. Then, of course, when that crash came, and then, of course, you go into the 30s there, and you go into the Great Depression. You go into Hoover days and so forth. I heard my granddaddy as a child talk about them and relate the stories about those times. So many times and so forth. But the arm of flesh will fail. The ingenuity of man will fail. It'll fail. It'll fall from time to time. You know, we can't put our trust in the financial institutions and the things of men and that man has and so forth, because I tell you, they're built upon fallacies and falsehoods and lies and so forth. Those things are crumbled. We can see this on every hand. He said, refuge fail me. He sought for refuge. And many times men seek for refuge, but the sense of the feeling was, no man cared for my soul. But then in verse 5, I cried unto thee. O Lord, I said, thou art my refuge and my portion. I'm telling you again this morning that the Lord is your refuge and your portion. I think of that text, the Lord's people is his portion and Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. Just as the Lord's people is his portion, I tell you, it's the same way on the other hand. The Lord is our portion. Amen. He is our great portion. He is all that we need. He is the one. If we'll keep our eyes upon him and our trust upon him, then no matter what comes or what goes or what fails us or what succeeds or whatever, we're in the Lord's hand. I've said many times, live or die, sink or swim, we're in the Lord's hand. We're in the Lord's hand. He is our preserver. The Lord is the preserver of life. He's the giver of life and he's the preserver of life. Thank God he's on the throne. Well, it seems like it's ringing in my soul. Tell my people again. Tell my people again, I'm on the throne. I'm God. I'm he. Besides me, there's none other. Look to me. Trust in me. Don't trust in the arm of flesh. Now, that don't excuse us from doing all the things that we know that we need to do. It's a two-sided coin. Amen. The Word of God gives us both sides of this. Amen. God doesn't bless the slothful. God doesn't bless the lazy. God doesn't bless those that don't get up and do what they know that they ought to do. We understand that side. But yet when it's all done, when it's finished, it's the Lord that got you up this morning. It's the Lord that will bless you to lay down tonight. It's the Lord that will keep you through the night.
Amen.
Amen. It's the Lord that will hold you up. Well, it's the Lord that will give you the strength and help to do what you need to do. I cried unto thee, O Lord, and said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. I want to tell you, this world and this world system and all of Satan and his cohorts, amen, it's mighty strong out here. And I tell you what, that strong man, there has to be one stronger than the strong man. Amen, to take the house. There has to be one that is mightier than the strong man. I tell you, we've got one that's mightier than Satan. We've got one that has defeated him. We've got one that holds him upon a leash. We've got one that confines him. And therefore, we have to remember that, and we have to keep ourselves humbled before our great King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. We'll come to a close with this. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea. You know, that's bad times. That's shaky times right there. That's about as bad as it gets. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. Oh, you're in a place of refuge. You're in the shadow. You're beneath the wings of the Almighty. You're in a way of obedience, of assembling together as the Lord has commanded in His gospel kingdom. Here in this place set aside, designated for the worship of the Most High and Holy God and our Lord and King Jesus Christ. So therefore, thank God, even though all of these troubles and as the waters of this world is roaring and raging and things are shifting and shaking and so forth, but there's a river. In other words, there's a source. There's a source of supply. Thank God forevermore. There's a help. Amen. And that help comes from the Lord. And the Lord, amen, is in the midst of her. The Lord is our help. The Lord will help right early. The Lord will come on time. You've heard me say it several times. Amen. The Lord may not come when you call Him, but He'll come on time. God is a God that is on time. His time. We think that we need something, we need it right now. God knows. As I've said, God answers prayer. God may say yes, but God may say slow. God may say grow. God may say no. We got to remember that. We've got to remember that. God answers prayer, but it may not be the way that we want it. Amen. Sometimes things, yes, but it'd be further down. You've got to grow some. You've got to mature some more before you can handle this. Got to slow. You're getting too fast. You're getting too far ahead. We can't go behind. We can't linger behind, and we can't get ahead. Amen of the Lord. We need to walk hand in hand. Hand in hand. Side by side with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's so many other thoughts and things along this line. Oh, I trust this morning that these things will be a blessing to you, isn't it? And that as you pray and meditate upon the Lord, and as you go about, as you study His Word and reflect upon the things, that you'll take it from that sense. This is the Lord telling you again. This is the Lord showing you again what great things that He has done for His people, and how that He is our present help in the time of need, and that He'll never forsake us, never leave us, go with us all the way, even to the very end. God bless you is my prayer. We'll select a song and stand together.